This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Are you feeling festive?
Well, it's the week pre-Raya, so it's hard not to feel festive. There are already conversations between family members about what's coming up in the next few days. Oh. What are your responsibilities? When are you arriving? When are you leaving?
Oh, wow. It's a lot of work for you. Like, I'm just excited, but clearly for some people.
but also it's trips to the bank that you haven't yet made.
Oh.
It's you're looking for envelopes that will have all the right amounts.
Yeah, I have visions of Chinese New Year at this point.
That's what exactly is. Mm-hmm. But I think the excitement about just the amount of food that's coming up, that's going to be
always
pretty good.
Always a good thing.
But speaking about this story of Ryan and giving, this story about what they're being described as a poorly planned charity event in the city.
Yeah.
Criticism has been leveled towards Rural Development Minister Rina Mohammad Harun, as well as the youth wing of PPBM or Bersatu. And it was titled Program Khas Jalanan Kasih Wilayah. And it saw donated clothes handed out by the minister in the streets after the event. But of course, it was disorganized and chaotic and left a bit of a mess after the event.
Yeah, a real mess. I mean, if you've seen the pictures going around. So social activist Syed Azmi Al-Habshi has commented on it, calling it out, essentially saying that it was disorganized, it was chaotic. He pointed out that it calls for the public to bring their own trash bags to clean up after an event. There were calls for that, but they were ignored, unfortunately. So, you know, a lot of pictures making the rounds and It's not pretty, got to say.
Yeah, and of course, this is one of those circumstances where the idea in itself is not a bad idea, but you know there are repercussions and consequences if there is not enough planning put towards the post effect of the event and you know what sort of impression that it leaves, with the mess that it leaves in the city.
Yeah.
And who is it targeted towards as well?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, when it comes to planning and, you know, people organizing it, there's certainly a big role to play. But, you know, just this idea of civic consciousness. We all saw, I think it was the last World Cup.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken,
that you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, we saw the Japanese
cleaning up after themselves.
Yeah, they brought their own trash bags and everything, and it was a shock. It came as a huge shock to all of us.
Yeah, again, you know, this is Malaysia looking towards Japan again in these circumstances about civic consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a key thing here because small suggestions that have been made by Syed Azmi, for example, in that, you know, that particular event would have been well served if it was done near Masjid Jamek, where the targeted folks there are the homeless. It would have been more deserving of folks to be on the receiving end of these gifts and handouts.
Well, it feels like it's not well thought through. May not necessarily be the case. And, you know, that's what everybody's saying, right? Your heart is in the right place, but execution is where everything takes a back seat, unfortunately. And that's something that it's very much a part of the Malaysian experience, got to say.
Yeah, so we're going to hear from Syed Azmi as the social activist, as well as Syed Sadiq, the Armada chief. We're going to hear from them shortly after this. In the meantime, here's some music by Marvin Gaye. What's going on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's Caroline and Ezra here on the Evening Edition. We've been talking about Program Khas Jalanan Kasih Wilayah. It's a program jointly organized by the Rural Development Ministry alongside with Bersatu's Youth Wing. It was a charity event meant to hand out donated clothes, but poor planning underscored the whole event, eventually leading up to a rather chaotic mess both during and after it was over.
Yeah, that's right. So social activist Syed Azmi Al-Habshi called it out, calling it a good project with misplaced intentions. So for a comment from him, we're crossing over to him himself. Syed Azmi, thank you very much for joining us on the show. Now, we know that you've worked this out with Syed Sadiq, who's also your friend, but we thought it would be beneficial for us to try and understand the issues underlying the work that you do with the underprivileged. So clearly, good intentions aren't nearly enough, but would you say that this situation is pretty common in that we start with the best of intentions, but execution takes a back seat somehow?
Okay, it is a common problem if you are not prepared, meaning that you did not check out the area or you do not know who are the other stakeholders in the area, and then you might get caught into trouble. Because the thing is, what is shown on media normally is not the same as what is happening on the ground. Most people think that it's all about doing good, but they forgot about the repercussion or the aftermath of the good intentions, whatever that may be. And these are the things that a lot of NGOs or soup kitchen or any group who is doing good, they normally like to advise to work together to just discuss, to actually hear out what's the end objective the other person wants, and then they can actually see whether it's feasible, whether there's another creative ideas to make it better.
Right, and so on that point you made about the discrepancy between what we see in the media and what actually happens on the ground, could you maybe elaborate a little bit more on that?
Okay, so I'll give an example of giving out food, for instance, right? So in giving out food, for instance, what you normally see is a queue of people and they all are eating and they are happy. But what you don't see in this, for soup kitchens, for instance, they don't see behind the scenes, which is after they finish giving out maybe, what, 200, 300 packs of food, nobody see actually the process of cleaning up, how long do they wait after that, what do they say towards the other people who are still waiting around them. So these things are part of the process of a very good management or event team. For instance as well, if you give out toys for children or you give out cookies or candies for children, you actually have to make sure that the parents do know about it. But no, most people don't know that. They just thought that you can just go into a certain place, in a playground, and then just start offering children with candies and things like that. We learn in our culture not to take anything from strangers. You see? So but what you see on photos is just children smiling happily, taking toys, taking candies, taking food from total strangers. But they don't see beforehand of asking permission from their parents or care guardians in that. Like the same, if it's after an event and you have your own guests there, meaning that if you have homeless or you have orphanage, you still have to wait for them to go back where they come from after your event. You have to wait until your place is clear, meaning that all of your participants has gone home. So this is what we're trying to say. When you start an event from start until the end, you don't see the process. You only see the one in between when you see the hype and all the glamorous part of it.
Right. And is there, I suppose, a mindset disconnect which hampers the level of understanding or empathy between, I suppose, do-gooders and the people that they work with?
No, I think it's because we assume everybody are the same. You don't know these people when you are actually out in the open. So when you don't know, you cannot think that, oh yeah, they finished, they should go home. Why are they loitering here? I don't know. So that's the part where we come down to the ground and we actually saw, uncle, are you going back? Is anybody sending you home? Where's your place? You see? So this is the process. Soup kitchen or any group on the street, the food or the items they give out are just mediums, are just an object to actually interact, to connect, to communicate, to find out more. So it's not about the main thing about feeding only. It's all about, okay, I feed you today. Are you going to be okay tomorrow? And there's a lot of communication going on. And I said, why people don't do it? It's because if it's our guests, we know their mindset the same, you know, same wavelengths and same sort of conversation. They know that, okay, we're done, ready, go home, okay, bye. And then they drove off. But if it's total strangers, they might be waiting, they might be seeing, and you don't know. But because you don't know, you have to ask. So I think a lot of do-gooders do actually have to see the ethics and the mannerism in trying to work with people that they don't know. And this can happen everywhere. It can happen in hospital wards, it can happen in homelessness, it can happen in single mothers, poor areas, rural, urban poor, PPR. They all have different pattern of people. And we don't know all patterns. We only know when we start to communicate. And this communication is the thing that is the most expensive, that you cannot pay enough money or food or clothing to actually get that experience.
Azmi, do you think there's a need to perhaps educate the people doing such work on the ethics that they have to observe?
Yes. Well, some NGOs, some groups, some students, they actually reach out way before their event. Some actually learn from their experience after the event. Whatever it is, you have to have an open mind to actually hear out. And I guess that to actually say educate, I think it's a bit difficult for mass public to know, like, how do we get ourselves educated on this? Where to go? Who can tell you? And things like that. You see, so it's not that easy. I understand that. And most of group, they don't have that, 1 month, 2 months preparation. They actually have like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So they don't actually have enough time to actually go down and find the right people to talk to find out more. But if you ask me about the importance, I think it's very, very much important. Meaning that when people want to work with children, there's normally a child activist to talk about the do's and don'ts. If you even go to hospital, at least you know there's a nurse there who can tell you the do's and don'ts. But if you go out in public, you don't know. And sometimes there's other sensitivity, meaning that you think, you know, on food sensitivity, you think chicken, or do you want to do all vegetarian? All that needs to be catered for. And you know, I normally think that some people say we want to do something different. We want to give what, something like laksa. Okay, but where do they wash their hands? What about cutleries and all that? Is there a nearby toilet if people are not, you know, suitable for that kind of meal? So all these things we need to see. So these are knowledge, and this knowledge can only be met when you have a discussion or communication with people who have been doing this longer.
Well, I guess, you know, an open mind is the key thing here. Sayed Azmi, thank you very much for joining us on the program and sharing your views with us.
All right, now we're going to cross over to Amara Chief himself, Sayed Sadiq. Sayed, thank you for joining us as well. We've just heard from Sayed Azmi, and we'd like your take as well, considering the event in question was organized by Amara PPBM. So having come through this event and, you know, I guess seeing the ensuing response, from your vantage point, can you tell us what you think went wrong?
Firstly, I think the best thing to do is to coordinate and cooperate with the more experienced NGOs on this matter. And that's why, as soon as I heard about this case, the first thing which I did was to call my good friend, Sayed Azmi, because I know that he has a wealth of experience in this matter, and then I apologize on behalf of Armada. The part to also note here is that this is a work in progress for us. Armada has been doing a lot of charity work in all parts of Malaysia and with multiple different groups doing it. And obviously, if there's help which we can get, that will be good for us. But at the same time, the intention from them is very good. But obviously, I think operating, collaborating with more experienced NGOs will help on this matter. And I think the person who was in charge of this program has also released a statement apologizing and looks forward to collaborating with this NGOs a lot better. So yeah, I mean, from my part, especially heading Armada, I sincerely apologize to Sayed, and hopefully we'll be able to collaborate and cooperate better in the future.
And moving forward, how do you see Armada's role in relation to improving the lives of underprivileged communities in our country?
Yeah. The good part about Armada is that it's filled up with so many people who mean well and who would like to help the community in bettering or moving the nation forward. That's why we have, I mean, a long list of volunteers who would like to help out, and those who are also from NGOs who have had a wealth of experience as well. But I think the way forward now is to definitely cooperate a lot more with other civil societies and NGOs out there so that we can move forward together. And it is our responsibility and duty to fight, speak up for the underprivileged in ways which we know best with the collaboration of different civil societies. Because if we do sideline the underprivileged, then I think the very reason why we join politics would then be empty. We are here for the underprivileged, and we will fight for the interest forever.
So Sadiq, thank you very much for joining us on the evening edition. That was Armada Chief Sayed Sadiq, and earlier you heard from social activist Sayed Azmi Al-Habsi, who talked about the need for proper ethics when working on the ground with underprivileged communities.
Yep. Any suggestions you have on how these events can improve, give us a call, 0377109000. You can send us a WhatsApp as well, 018.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.